Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Michael Amadeus Show, episode 590. Searching for Answers, Thanksgiving 2022. Well, it's Thanksgiving, 5 years on from the first episode of this podcast. Now, yesterday, while in Colorado Springs, I took a moment to visit the memorial forming outside of Club Q, where a hate-inspired and senseless act of violence took the lives of five people and injured many more. While standing outside in the midst of a never-ending vigil, the ground strewn with flowers and memorials for those who were lost, I found myself wondering about who we are as a country, as a planet, and as children of God. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that there's clearly something wrong here. I think I'm safe in saying that. So on this day, meant to mark our gratitude for all things, we also choose to indulge in consumption rather than gratitude, often leaving this meaning of the day to simply being a half-thought, before a statement at the dinner table. Now, don't get me wrong, breaking bread with loved ones and sharing gratitude are good things. Great things, in fact. Yet, our other side, our society's collective shadow self, lurks in the periphery of our traditions. We behave like an addict, like a spiritual disease has taken deep root within us. And just like anyone who's loved an addict can tell you, addiction doesn't happen because someone is immoral or weak. Addiction is a disease that takes over the brain's neurological circuits and becomes an ingrained solution to cope with the world. Oftentimes, non-addicts believe that if their loved one really cared about their life, they'd just stop using. What's overlooked in this belief is the disconnect between judgment and action that becomes more and more apparent as the addiction takes deeper root. Maya Selovitz, a recovering addict and the author of the book The Unbroken Brain, writes, "I remember many, many times driving down to the projects telling myself, 'You don't want this. You don't want to do this.' But I do it anyway." The power that addiction wields over the addict is immense. Many addicts may intend to stop using, but struggle with the power that these things hold over their brain. Research led by Kent Berridge, a neuroscientist at the University of Michigan, highlights an area of the brain that is extremely affected by addiction, which he calls the wanting system. This wanting system helps regulate our function and cravings for pleasurable activities like sex or eating, but it can be hijacked once drugs or other addictive substances are introduced to the brain. Once this area becomes hijacked, the pleasurable neurotransmitter known as dopamine is triggered into overdrive production. In turn, this wanting system is altered significantly and neurologically changes the duration and intensity of the craving, which can change the behaviors around getting the craving satisfied. But let's stop there. Now I'm just talking about addiction. But if we are, as a culture, wanting something other than senseless violence in a society where it's not becoming increasingly normal to be attacked and potentially killed while just simply living, we must ask ourselves, what are these shooters getting out of this? Is it the feeling of power? Is it notoriety? Is it the enjoyment of breaking a community down by shattering its sense of safety and civility? Or is it a madness where up is down and good becomes evil? Now, Pastor Brad Stoltenau, a Lutheran pastor and one of the people I look to for answers, said it best upon hearing the news. He remarked, "This is a spiritual problem." And it is. Deeply so. One thing I was aware of standing outside of Club Q was that such a heinous act very likely could not have been committed by an individual who had a sense of gratitude in their heart. The act is so destructive, and it resonates as an act of tearing down rather than appreciation, of desecration instead of building up. And that's where I return to this idea of Thanksgiving. What a holiday to celebrate. If you believe the well-trod story, we're celebrating friendly Native Americans teaching struggling colonists to survive and, culminating in a feast in 1621. There is, of course, a much darker history behind that day, which I need not to go into here, but it's a different episode. Yet it's not one unrelated to the subject of this one. The singular quality of gratitude seems to be the beginning of what could heal us. Gratitude for each other, left, right, center. Gratitude for what we've been given, for having been born at one of the best times in history. And I know this may come as a shock to some of you, but the data is clear. It is the best time to be a human ever in history, according to statistics anyway. On that street, it occurred to me that gratitude is where I, and where maybe we, could start rebuilding. That means being grateful for the good, the bad, for the opportunity to attempt to turn the bad into something enduringly better. It's not a moment to shrink from or to ignore. It's time to find a larger love within us and to step in time to create the vision that that love inspires. And that means here as well. I'm grateful for you. Thank you for being here. Now, I want to leave you with a quote from Rumi that occurred to me as I was standing there on the sidewalk. And it's this. Be grateful for your life, every detail of it. And your face will come to shine like the sun, and everyone who sees it will be made glad and peaceful. Persist in gratitude, and you will slowly become one with the Sun of Love. And love will shine through you in its all-healing joy. The path of gratitude is not for children. It is a path of tender heroes, of the heroes of tenderness, who, whatever happens, keep burning on the altar their hearts. Flame of adoration. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to find out more about me, you can at michaelamadei.com, or you can find me on the social media networks under the same name. Until next time, keep living with gratitude, keep living courageously, and keep living creatively.